There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence, and thank you for being with us today. Today our scripture passage comes from Titus chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Again, that is Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. NIV. Paul was an evangelist. He was a preacher who, once he got his assignment, didn't stop, didn't retire, but finished out his course. He knew that one day he would see his Savior face to face. Along the way, he touched so many lives, and his courage and his faithfulness continue to inspire us today. In his letter to Titus, Paul first identifies himself. He wanted the listeners to know that he was not a self-appointed prophet, which Paul sometimes described when he was speaking of false prophets as coming with useless fables. No, Paul was not one of those, but rather he was the servant of God on assignment. He purposely identifies himself not as a great evangelist or preacher, but rather as a servant and an apostle. I am sure that was a choice on his part. While the letter was sent to Titus, Paul knew that it would be read throughout Crete. If he, Paul the evangelist, refers to himself as a servant, how then should others called to carry the gospel think of themselves? Paul demanded the respect and authority. These were appropriate, but at all times, he understood that he was a bond servant to the Lord. In much the same way, he instructs Titus to use the authority that Paul has given to rebuke those who were teaching false doctrine and not truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul describes Titus as his brother. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 23, Titus is described as my partner and fellow helper. In 2 Corinthians 12, 18, we learn that Paul and Titus walked in the same spirit and the same steps. Paul trusted Titus. They had worked together. They had labored together in the kingdom. And he trusted Titus to take care of the church in Crete. There were many cities on the island, and Titus was charged with putting the right people in authority in these cities. Now, this couldn't be a random assignment, couldn't be a popularity contest. There had to be a standard of behavior, and Paul spells that out in verses 7 through 9. There was and continues to be a standard for leadership in the church. Leadership must be in control of their own household. They must be faithful to their spouse if they are married. They must have a heart for people, and so hospitality is almost second nature to them. I recently shared with someone as we were witnessing that the emotion that was building in her, the empathy that she was feeling for the person being prayed for, made her witness more effective. She cared about this person. She felt their pain, and because she felt it, she could pray out of her heart and not just with her lips. When God gives us a heart for the lost, the work takes on an urgency that we would not otherwise know. Leaders who lead by the book, but with no true empathy for the people, can be great administrators, but will always fall short until they allow God to place a burden on their heart for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. The church has many good administrators, but needs more fearless, unapologetic, politically incorrect evangelists like Paul. Preachers who will plunder hell to populate heaven. Paul wanted Titus to fight for the souls of the people. And for that, he needed the power of the Holy Ghost. He needed the leading of the Spirit to choose the right people for leadership. Only God knows what he has placed in a man or a woman. He knows the true potential and their gifting. All leaders should lean on the Lord when there are appointments to be made. There were many cities on the island, and Titus was charged with putting the right people in positions of authority. This certainly could not be taken lightly. There had to be a standard, and Paul lays it out. The leadership had to be godly. Titus, having walked with Paul, understood the serious task ahead. Now, the people in this region had a bit of a reputation, and this is talked about in this chapter. Many of us have reputations that we may not be proud of. The people at that time and in that place were seen as liars and worse. Here is what we have to understand about reputation. It may be well earned and fully descriptive of where we have been and what we have done. It may be a label that others choose to attach to us. But when we decide to walk with Jesus, we get a reset, a new start. Yes, there are those who remember where we have been and what we have done. But Jesus throws all of those yesterdays into the sea of forgetfulness. He will give us a new start, and we don't have to claim what we were, but what we are, a child of the Most High. When the people of the island accepted Christ, they got a reset and could then leave behind the liar label, and they could claim the title of truth teller. It might take a while, but people were going to notice the change and the difference in them. If anybody asks what's the matter with you, I'm saved, sanctified, and running for my life. God was building a church here, and there would be those who would be an example of holiness that others might see and come to him. Titus knew that there were men and women who would serve him and hold up the standard of holiness. Titus was prepared to do the preaching and the teaching that was necessary to help these people become the leaders God has designated them to be. To be chosen to preach the gospel is a high honor and a privilege. John MacArthur described it this way: the preacher is not a chef, he's a waiter. God doesn't want you to make the meal, he just wants you to deliver it to the table without messing it up. That's all. Preach the word. And don't mess it up. Say what the word says. Charles Spurgeon wisely observed, The power that is in the gospel does not lie in the eloquence of the preacher. Otherwise, men would be converters of souls. Nor does it lie in the preacher's learning. Otherwise, it could consist of the wisdom of men. We might preach until our tongues rotted, till we should exhaust our lungs and die. But never a soul would be converted unless there were mysterious powers going with it. The Holy Ghost changing the will of man. Oh, sirs, we might as well preach to stone walls as preach to humanity unless the Holy Ghost is with the word to give it power to convert the soul. When men and women give themselves wholly to God, He will provide the power, the strength, the courage, and the understanding to reach a dying world. John Wesley was right when he said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen, they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth." Titus's assignment was one that would require much prayer and work, but he could do it. He could achieve it just as we can achieve it. Seek out the right people to serve. Prepare them for service. Correct, rebuke, be faithful to the word, preach the word, and watch God work. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray for those who are chosen to share the word of God as missionaries, as ministers, as pastors, and any other capacity. Lord, grant them wisdom, strength, and let the fire of the Holy Ghost take them over, granting boldness and protection as they do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and beautiful week, and join us again next time in His presence.
Please share your comments on this broadcast at inhispresence@nonelikehimanywhere.org.